Good morning.
Good morning.
Beat ya.
You did.
Welcome to Uprising, everybody.
Yeah, we're glad you've tuned in. I hope wherever you are warm and safe. I am joined by my partner, David Ross.
Hello.
And I am Christy Shea Moore. We both work at Bellevue Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Tennessee. I know some of you are listeners through Hibby Radio, 94.5 in Nashville. But we also have some who listen to us by podcast. So we welcome you wherever you are. I'm glad you're listening. We're aware that there is some weather coming in for this weekend. So I hope that if you've had some snow days, that you are safe and comfortable and warm.
Yeah. I was shocked to hear that. I didn't think we were going to get any snow in Nashville this year.
Yeah, it's been one of our segments to tell Dave the news, but now I'm telling Dave the weather, too.
New segment.
New segment. Tell Dave the weather. but make sure I keep my flock safe.
That's right. So, I got my salt. I was at Lowe's when you told me.
So like, get some salt. I think I mentioned a snow shovel, but did you think you had one?
Yeah, I thought maybe I had one. Turns out I don't. Yeah. But hey, I'll survive. I'm a Pennsylvanian. I'll survive.
You are. You're going to figure it out. Yep. But there's a possibility that we could have so much snow that may not be able to hold the service at the church this week. If not, then we hope we'll have some of our congregation listening in as well as others. And it has been my practice in the past years when we approach the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King to speak about him and have an emphasis on his work and his dream. And so since Martin Luther King's day is Monday, it was going to be my Sunday to talk about it anyway. So David and I have been reading up on Dr. King, refreshing some of our memory, learning some new things. Of course, I have long held him as one of my heroes because he was a pastor and an incredible preacher. And he's just, I turn to his sermons again and again, giving me a lot of strength and hope and encouragement over the years. So I passed one book, a collection of sermons on to you, David, The Strength to Love.
Yes.
And you've been doing some research. So what are some things you've discovered about Dr. King and his work for justice and for his dream of equality in America?
Oh, man. Sounds like it's like an essay question. So much. I mean, so much to his life. I was looking at kind of quick facts about Martin Luther King that maybe most of us didn't know. I certainly didn't know. So he enrolled in college when he was only 15 years old.
Wow.
In Morehouse College. I thought that was pretty amazing because he was just he was so advanced and such an intellectual, on many levels.
It's unbelievable. I think maybe I was starting to read at 15. I think I was reading, starting to read The Lord of the Rings and some larger books. And I mean, I was always a voracious reader, but nothing I just can't even imagine going to college at 15.
Yeah, I think I was skateboarding and learning to play the drum set.
Mm-hmm.
And spiking my hair. not going to college. That was,
I was watching MTV, probably.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So what else? He was imprisoned 29 times in his lifetime.
Wow.
Which I knew it was, I know he was in jail on several occasions for different, ridiculous violations and speeding.
Well, I think it's interesting too that one of his greatest writings was Letter from a Birmingham Jail, and I see Dr. King as it's almost like a modern day Paul, with some of his writings being done in prison, and that so much of Paul's letters in the New Testament were written while he was in prison, and yet both men had such a joy in the Lord. And were able to overcome such adversity and inspire a movement and lead so many people. So very worthy, I think, of us taking time to look back on some of his words to us.
Yeah.
Recently, there was a film that came out a couple of years ago, Selma, about the march in Selma, Alabama, particularly across the Edwin Pettus Bridge that Dr. King led. And I know that you watched that recently.
Watched it last night.
Yeah.
I did not fall asleep for that one.
Oh, it's riveting, isn't it?
It really is. Because, yeah, I fall asleep sometimes at movies, but this one...
I was very moved.
It was amazing.
You'd asked if it had won some Oscars. I know it was nominated for several Oscars and Golden Globes and such, but it did win Best Song, the song that was written for Selma and performed by John Legend and Common. And we have that to share with you. It's called Glory.
Great tune.
Great tune for our...
You gotta like you can't dislike Common.
No. It's John Legend.
And John Legend.
Pretty amazing. So...
Yeah.
So I hope you're inspired by Glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
that was Glory by Common featuring John Legend. Great song from the movie Selma, which I highly recommend. Really great film.
It is, and be looking for John Legend, who has just been cast to play Jesus and Jesus Christ Superstar. So on Easter Sunday.
That's pretty
crazy. Yes.
Has there ever been
forward to that?
There's, I don't feel like there's ever been a black Jesus before, like in a movie.
I don't know.
Is that a first?
It may be. It'll be a live production on TV. They've been doing these live, you know, Broadway musicals, so yeah.
That's cool.
That will be. I'm looking forward to it.
I had some thoughts about the movie. Just watching it, you really learn a lot about MLK and the relationships he had and the people around him. And I always think of him as just obviously a crazy inspirational leader. But what I realized from watching the movie is like how much he needed his peers and his friends and people around him, because he endured a lot of times in his life of fearfulness, and he doubted a lot of times, or at least sometimes he doubted his entire mission. And like there's a good scene where he's in prison and with all of his, I guess, other members of the what's it called?
I think it was a Southern Christian Leadership Council.
Yes.
Something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And he's just very like despairing over being in prison, and things aren't going the way he thought they would, and he's doubting his whole mission. And then his friend is just like, hey, like, and he reads him, I think, Matthew 4, and talks about like look at the birds in the sky, like, aren't you worth so much more to God? And he really just lifts his spirits in that moment. And the same like with his wife. His wife was like a rock for him throughout the entire movement. And you know, he needed his peers, his brothers and his sisters.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while since I watched Selma, but you know, my impressions of it were, one, you know, just the burden of leadership, and how many people who were looking to him, and it kind of reminded me too of some of his writings and sermons. And you know, there's one book of collection of his sermons called Strength to Love, that if I could only have one book, if I were on a deserted island and outside of the Bible, if I could only have one book, it would be the book Strength to Love by Dr. King, with these sermons, because I have turned to them through so many trials and tribulations in my own life and ministry. But there's one sermon, I think I told you to read this one too, David. It's called,
yeah,
Our God is Able. And he is recounting, and I just want to read a portion of it, because I think it's
yeah,
so very, very powerful. And I am going to read it exactly as he wrote it. And there is a term in here that's objectionable, but this was, you know, what was said to him. So I think it's important,
yeah,
to say it. But he's talking, he picks up in this section. He says, after a particularly strenuous day, I settled in bed at a late hour. My wife had already fallen asleep, and I was about to doze off when the telephone rang. An angry voice said, listen, nigger, we've taken all we want from you. Before next week, you'll be sorry you ever came to Montgomery. I hung up, but I could not sleep. It seemed that all of my fears had come down on me at once. I had reached the saturation point. I got out of bed and began to walk the floors, and finally I went to the kitchen and heated a pot of coffee. I was ready to give up. I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had almost gone, I determined to take my problem to God. My head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I'm afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. And at that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never before experienced him. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, stand up for righteousness, stand up for truth. God will be at your side forever. And almost at once, my fears began to pass from me. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything. The outer situation remained the same, but God had given me inner calm. And 3 nights later, our home was bombed. Strangely enough, I accepted the word of the bombing calmly. My experience with God had given me a new strength and trust. I knew now that God is able to give us the interior resources to face the storms and the problems of life. Let this affirmation be our ringing cry. It will give us courage to face the uncertainties of the future. It will give our tired feet new strength as we continue our forward stride toward the city of freedom. When our days become dreary with low hovering clouds and our nights become darker than 1,000 midnights, let us remember that there is a great benign power in the universe whose name is God, and he is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. This is our hope for becoming better men. This is our mandate for seeking to make a better world.
Wow.
Powerful stuff.
Yes. Yeah. That's a guy with just like crazy vision, because I can't imagine like how fearful, like if people were threatening to hurt me, to kill me, like.
And your children.
And your kids and your family, like.
Yeah.
Like multiple times, like all the time. And he presses on to the vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's just amazing.
And you shared a story with me, one of the things you found in your research that I wasn't aware of, that somebody had tried to kill him at a book signing 10 years before his death.
Yeah, which I had no idea.
And I just, in 58, and so yeah. I like imagined.
They like stabbed him with like a letter opener.
If he had been killed 10 years before he died in Memphis, you know, how different the world might be.
Right.
You know, think about the power of Dr. King and the movement that he led, and that he didn't give up and he didn't let fear win. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times, even with the kind of conflicts that I have seen in ministry or the stands that I've taken, and I've seen people, you know, they've been worried for their kids or worried for their families or just don't like conflict or just it's too uncomfortable. And I think, but none of us were facing somebody calling and saying, we are going to bomb your house and we are going to kill you and your wife and your children.
Oh my gosh, right?
You know, what bravery. And and he turned to God. And I think that again is that enduring lesson for us all from a brother in faith, that we can trust in the Lord who hears our cries. And it obviously doesn't mean that what we feared may not happen, because as he said, 3 nights later, his home was bombed, but his family was spared. He ultimately gave his life, but he knew, he trusted that there's life here and there's life in the world to come. And he trusted that God could see him through everything. And that's why he was okay. You know, when that happened, he could keep going on after the bombing of his house.
Yeah.
But that kind of brings us to, there was another song that I wanted us to hear. It's an older song that's from a movie called The Preacher's Wife from the soundtrack. We've got soundtrack songs today.
Yeah, movie theme. I like it.
And it's from just the beautiful voice of Whitney Houston. And it's actually a spiritual, and it's a hymn. It's in our hymn book in the Presbyterian Church. It's called I Love the Lord Who Heard My Cry.
And if you weren't convinced already that she's an amazing singer, this song will convince you, because oh my gosh.
Oh my.
So, she's going to take us to church.
Let's go.
I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Lord,
what an incredible song.
Oof.
Whitney Houston.
Good.
I love the Lord who heard my cry. Joined by a choir. Incredible song.
Yeah.
For the film Preacher's Wife, which starred Denzel Washington.
My favorites.
Oh, love Denzel. But that, you know, that is such a great song for worship. And particularly I placed it in the worship service for today as a response after the prayer of confession, just a reminder.
Wow.
The Lord hears our cry. So I think that fits so well with Dr. King's story about crying out to the Lord in his fear and need. And, you know, he was a man of great faith and great strength. But I wonder for us today, this weekend, particularly, you know, as we are pondering his dream, you know, what do you think is the state of Dr. King's dream today, David? And, you know, what were some of the specific things, you know, he'd hoped and dreamed for? Have we discovered the dream?
I feel like we are making progress for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like in general as a society. I mean, I feel like every generation, the issue of like, I think we move further and further away from segregation and racism, yeah. Racist kind of ways of thinking. I feel like every generation is more open and accepting.
True. I do think that's true. I remember my campus pastor, Bob Bondurant, who was the campus minister at Marshall University when I was there, who had gone to seminary at Union Seminary in Virginia, in Richmond. And he told me a story about being in a park with friends, and one was an African-American woman, and a police officer coming along and saying she was not allowed to be there, that it was like a whites-only park, or at least they were in a section that they were not allowed, and how he argued with the police officer and how horrible it was. And I thought, I haven't experienced that segregation. I mean, he lived in a time where there were segregated parks and segregated restaurants and segregated, you know, water fountains. And
yeah,
that has not been a part of my life experience or yours.
Right. And then the world's like, obviously we're getting more integrated, like globally,
yeah,
all the time. And more kids are like starting out as their lives with a cell phone and the internet. And like, we are exposed to so much more. We have so much more information at our fingertips. Like, I think that helps with people, yeah, being more open-minded and less judgmental.
And I think that, you know, we enjoy working with a ministry called Touchstone on, yes, Wednesday nights, and I love how, you know, it is a group of kids, and there are black kids and white kids, and we're getting ready, you know, weather permitting, to go on a trip Monday to Chattanooga to Lookout Mountain, which, mm-hmm, Dr. King mentions in his I Have a Dream speech. And we're going to take the kids that are good friends and love each other. And, you know, you just think about in his day, that would not have happened. We would not have been renting vans and driving black and white kids together to go and have this experience.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
It's because of his dream. So do you have a little bit of that speech?
Yes.
To share with us?
Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, that one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to think about, you know, if we make it up to the top of Lookout Mountain Monday, that we'll be able to join hands and live that dream. That's,
mm-hmm,
that's amazing. I mean, it's not fully realized, but I do think it is the kingdom of God that Jesus came to usher in. And Christians should be about furthering Christ's kingdom. And that is a kingdom of love and nonviolence, equality, peace. And thank you, God, for Dr. King and for all of the prophets who remind us that without a vision, the people perish. And may we continue to live into the vision of God for his people, all of his people.
Yeah.
All of them.
Amen to that.
Amen. I hope maybe that this show has whet your appetite a little bit for some of the writings of Dr. King. I think, gosh, we live in a time now where everything is just a Google search away. And we have some fabulous libraries also in Nashville and across our country. But I would encourage you to read some of his works and to feel, you know, you can also listen to some of his speeches. I always listen to the full I Have a Dream speech on his birthday.
Yeah, check out the book that you showed me, Strength to Love.
Strength
That's
to Love.
That's a really good one. Because I'm familiar with a lot of his speeches, of course, but his writing, it's
and they are
you get
sermons,
a whole new side of him.
So for people of faith, I think to read his messages and remember that, yeah, he, like his father, they were Baptist preachers and incredible leaders. And I've long enjoyed the worship experience at African-American churches. And I love how they are more comfortable in leaving some room for the Spirit, as I call it, than... than sometimes we Presbyterians are, but phenomenal messages, and so much hope for us. I read something recently from Beth Moore, who many people have heard of. She's a pretty prolific Bible study leader, teacher of women, and has written a lot of books about women's ministry and about Christianity and faith. And she's kind of in a conversation with people, and they were bemoaning how, you know, it feels like sometimes we take 3 steps forward and then 2 steps back. And I know I say that a lot in ministry. And Beth Moore said, well, but think about it. You know, even when you take 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, you've taken a step forward. And it is progress. And we have made progress. And may each generation truly live into this incredible dream of equality and love. And so glad we could share this with you, Nashville and America. Let freedom ring from sea to shining sea.
Preach it. She's getting preachy.
Yeah, so hope you will join us again next week, and that you have a wonderful week. And I hope you enjoy, for those who are off for Martin Luther King's birthday, I hope you have a great holiday. And Dave and I hope that we'll be able to enjoy it in Chattanooga.
That's so right. Check out past episodes of Uprising on iTunes and Podomatic.com. Search for Bellevue Presbyterian Uprising. Peace out, everybody.
Peace out.